Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm broadcasting live from Houston, Texas, and I'm on the road again. If it sounds different, maybe it may not sound different, but if it does, it's because it is different, and it's always a little bit different when we go on the road. I'm excited about having Jim Ballard back on the show. Jim's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, an old friend of ours, the author of so many books, I can't bring them with me on the road, I'll tell you that. Mind Like Water is one of my favorite books. Also, he's the co-author of Whale Done, and I don't know how many books he's the co-author of. He's co-authored a number of them. Also, What's the Rush, which is the first book that I think we've... We knew of his, and he's our good friend. How you doing? Are you there, Jim?
Yeah.
Okay, there you are. Right. It's good to have you back, Jim, as always. And by the way, I know I keep asking you this, but when's the Little Wave and Old Swale going to be out?
Well, they've delayed that, and it's probably not going to be until spring of 07.
What? What's the matter? We need that book.
I know. I know. It was a little shocked to find that out, but it's for good reasons.
Well, it's one of the things that you deal with when you have a publisher, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
That's a little teaching lesson right there. That you always have a lesson for us, Jim. Whatever you talked about. Yeah, exactly. I know you want to talk about about people today, the right people for the right reasons. Talk to us about that, please.
Well, what I'd like to talk about, Jim, is the notion of putting employees first. You know, the old mantra is always customers come first.
Right.
And, you know, we want to please and delight customers. We want to exceed their expectations. We want them to love us and be loyal to us. And all of those things can be talked about. We can say all those things about employees, and I think we should say them first. That, you know, I want to talk with you about courtship after marriage. You know, the other day that Barbara and I were at a restaurant, and there were two couples sitting near us. One was a really old couple, I mean, you know, getting along in years.
Uh-huh.
And the other one was a young couple. And the old couple didn't have anything to say to each other. They just sat all the way through the meal. I think that we heard one time the guy said, how's your meat? You know, and that was the extent.
Well Jim, after 50, 60 years, what is there left to say?
Well, you know, we just came away saying, you know, that marriage is dead, but nobody told it to lie down. And the other one, the young couple, they were interesting too, because she was on the cell phone all the time, and he was watching a basketball game. That he was just, you know, if they had anything to say to each other, it was peremptory, and it looked like they were glad to get back to the ball game and the cell phone, and so we thought, I think about courtship after marriage and how important it is to keep the romance in your relationship, and it's the same with employees. You know, we think we hire them, we train them, and sometimes we just kind of think, okay, I don't have to be all that nice to them because they work for me. But I think that putting your folks first is a way of getting to your customers. In other words, the big duh of business is that the better your people feel treated, the better they'll treat your customers. It's that old waterfall effect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say that if you put your people first, you've got things in the right order, because they come first in your life anyway. You see them every day. They're always at work when you go there, where your customers are not. Your customers are more remote, and a lot of times your people are between you and your customers. In other words,
most of the time they are.
Yeah, and if they're interacting with customers, you know, you can walk into a place and you can tell right away, at least I can, how the people that work there feel treated, because how they treat you is a function of that.
So that's, you know, Jim, one of the reasons why I think is what you're saying is so important is because the if you think about what do you do in your life for most of the years of your life, what's the single most concentrated long-term thing that you do? And that's that you go to work. You spend more time on a Monday through Friday, at least, with the people you work with. You spend right. more time with your customers and your fellow employees than you do your family and for your entire life, your entire working life,
right.
life at least. And so why, you know, why do we get the idea that work has to be work? It has to be a drudge, that it has to be something that we wish we would get over so we could wish our, so, you know, we wind up wishing our life away so we can get to Friday and you know, and then look forward to the weekend. And what a horrible existence. And to the degree that employers, we as employers, mm-hmm. Facilitate that kind of an attitude, then
yeah.
we're making a mistake. And that's what you're talking about.
It is. And, you know, when you think of how you want your customers to feel treated, you want to listen to them. You want to get to know them. You want to show an interest in their lives and their families. And in employee surveys, again and again, the two top priorities of employees are, one, a personal relationship with the boss, and two, to be in on things. So I think that begins to tell us right away a couple of things that we can do with our employees if we want them to interact with customers and have those customers keep coming back and want to be around where things are happening in our shop. Then we got to have our people feeling really good about working there.
Well, one of the things that we all know is that customers can come and go as they certainly well please, and we go through all these gyrations to get them to come back. And we need to have the same attitude. And what you're saying is we need to treat our employees the same way, so they want to come back the next day. Because if we can do that, then that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy with our other customers, doesn't it?
It's great.
Yeah.
You know, I heard a story the other day. I don't know.
Can you hold on to that story?
Yes.
Because that's the best kind of a tease for us to go out on, Jim.
Okay.
It's one of your stories. Nobody's going anywhere when they know Jim Ballard's going to tell a story when we come back, because they're always good ones, folks. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Marvin Gaye to take us out. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Jim Ballard is our guest. He's the Duke of Earl and our good friend and author of... Jim, how many books have you authored or co-authored?
I don't know, about a dozen.
I was going to say 20 or 30 at least.
Nobody that I know plays Duke of Earl anymore. I got to get on this program to hear those songs.
that's exactly right. Isn't that a classic?
Yeah.
Jim Ballard, the Duke of Earl, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Jim, tell us your story.
Well, the story is about an employer, and it's a true story. And this guy, this happened in India, and it was when they were building... It was a government project, and they were working on, I don't know if it was atomic, but they were building large arms, you know, in the arms race, or when mm-hmm. India got into that. And those guys, those scientists that worked there, or the people in the factories, were doing 18-hour days at one point. And everybody was kind of scared to step out of line, and one man had his kids... say that they wanted more than anything else for him to take them to a certain exhibition or a museum or something like that. It was sort of like a rock concert was in town, mm-hmm. but these were little kids. And, you know, he was afraid, but he approached his employer and he said, I wonder if I could have on Friday if I could go home at 5:30, and which was not the rule, you know. And mm-hmm. the employer surprisingly assented to that. Mm-hmm. So Friday came, and the man found himself. I mean, he wasn't thinking about it, but he was so into his work that it was 8:15 before he looked at his watch, and he had gone by the time that he and his employer had agreed that he would go home. So he packed up and hurried home, and he thought, oh, I'm really in trouble. And he came in, and his wife was surprisingly really, really nice to him and said, do you want dinner now and all? He said, what about the kids? And she said, oh, your boss came by and picked them up and took them to the
wow.
exhibition.
Wow.
Because he said that he came by and you were working so hard that he could tell that you were really into it, and so he did that. And that man today is the employer is the president of India.
Wow.
That did that.
What a great
anyway,
story.
You can't do a whole lot of that, but that's an example of somebody who went out of his way to do something. I mean, I don't think that guy went anywhere after that, you know, with a boss
uh-huh.
like that. And I give that as an example of what you can think about doing, at least how you can think about being with your employees to produce folks that are really loyal to you.
Well, Jim, two of the things that I think are important as employers is to think about our employees. Number one is the fact that they have other lives. They have families. They have their own health. They have their own spirit, their own souls, their own interests. They have those other things. And to realize that these aren't your slaves. These are people who've chosen to let you have a lot of their time. That's one thing. The other thing is we should think about their success. They want to be successful just like you want to be successful.
Exactly.
And help them to be successful in their assignments. And that's what I call Blasingame's first law of aggregation. Don't try to be successful yourself. Aggregate the success of your employees for your own success.
I love that. And you know, back to the second thing that I said about employees want. They want a personal relationship with the boss, and they want to be in on things. So making your employees business literate goes along with what you said, because if you can show them how the business makes money, where the money goes, and make them do open book management with them, you'll be contributing to their success as business owners someday. Make them owners now. Mm-hmm. Make them owners of your business to feel like owners of the business, because that's when they really start to take responsibility for what goes on and to look at cost saving that they can do. Go ahead.
And you start that by letting them take ownership and helping them take ownership of a project or a sector of the business or a certain number of customers.
You're right. And then they feel, you know, folks feel so proud. Look at how I'm trusted by my boss to take mm-hmm. this project on. And the last thing that I wanted to talk about doing courtship after marriage with your employees is not only to form personal relationships with them, listen to them, get to know them, show an interest in their families, and not only make them business literate and show them how the business works and show them a P&L statement and make them aware and responsible, but thirdly, help make their work tie in with things that they're good at and passionate about. You know, when people's own interests are reflected in their tasks, then their satisfaction goes up and so does their productivity. So your job is to find out about their likes and interests and try to mm-hmm. design the work so that they experience some sweet spots, some places where their interests and tasks overlap.
Well, Jim, that is so well said. I've really enjoyed your perspective on this, and I'll tell you, I'm gonna redouble my efforts to keep the romance going with my employees and including some of my top executives. Hey, Jim, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Absolutely, thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Ballard, ladies and gentlemen, the author of What's the Rush and Mind Like Water. Stay with me. I'll be back right after these messages with Greg Sullivan.
Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.